to listen as to the Roman Show.
The most informative show in mixed martial arts and pro wrestling on the net. Award-winning journalist Rodolfo Roman tackles and gets down to the nitty-gritty of the sport with exclusive interviews. Sit back, relax, stay up to date. Let the Roman Show inform you. Call in live to participate. 714-868-0222. Let the Roman Show begin.
We're going to skate to one song only.
Motherfucker like me, can you please remind me? Ball so hard, this shit crazy. Y'all don't know this, don't shit fade. And let's go, 0 for 82 when I look at you like this shit crazy. Ball so hard, this shit weird. We ain't even supposed to be here. Ball so hard, this we here. It's only right that we be fair. Psycho, I'm libo, to go Michael. Take your pick, Jackson, Tyson, Jordan, Game 6. Ball so hard, got a broke clock. Rollies that don't tick tock.
Welcome, everyone, to the Roman Show this evening here on December 7th as we are getting closer to Christmas and the new year. But with that being said, I'd like to first and foremost introduce my co-host, Guillermo, the MMA Encyclopedia Garcia. Guillermo, huge news today happening in the world of mixed martial arts in the side of the Ultimate Fighting Championship, Guillermo.
Yeah, absolutely. It's not the greatest news in the world, but it still sets up an exciting fight to take its place.
Indeed it is. And with that, we're going to get straight to the mentioning of this news as we get started, as we have a very, very, very lengthy and well-stacked up show. As tonight, Guillermo, we are going to have a very special guest, indeed, who has gone viral. His video has gone viral. His fight was shown on HDNet, and in fact, we had his opponent last week here on the Roman Show, and that's Dennis the Menace Hernandez, and he was talking to us as far as how he was preparing for his fight against this fighter, and this man who has been called the one-armed fighter. We're talking about Nick Newell. Nick Newell is a phenomenal fighter who fought in the XFC. He's 28 years old, but the man with his victory this past Friday, who right now stands at a perfect 6-0, has made headlines all over the internet. If you were on Yahoo, you saw a huge article on this man. And despite the fact that he does have a disability and he was born with a partial arm, the point of the matter is, Guillermo, that this man is an inspiration in himself and proves to many people that, heck, no matter what disability you have or anything, any setback that you have in your life, it can be done. And I think this is what Nick Newell is doing, Guillermo.
Yeah, absolutely. It's very inspirational. I mean, like you and me were talking about it, all the disadvantages that he has going into each MMA fight, and somehow he perseveres and continues to win. And that just proves, you know, most fighters want to dictate where the fight takes place, but for him it's absolutely essential. If the fight does not go where he needs it to go, he's at a terrible disadvantage against his opponent, so it makes it even all the more amazing that he's been able to do what he's done.
And you know, surprisingly enough, this man has won most of his fights via submission, as his last fight came via heel hook, and it's been spreading all over the internet like a disease, this video of Nick Newell versus Dennis Hernandez. Very inspiring in itself. And we're going to speak to him here tonight. And then later on tonight, we're going to have Anthony Rivera, a promotion based out of Puerto Rico. They're going to have a reality show on the island, picking out fighters from the island, from the Caribbean island, and then to get a contract on that promotion over there in Puerto Rico as MMA is expanding all over the world, including in Puerto Rico, which one of the first few shows of the UFC was in Puerto Rico. Where,
yeah, that's right. UFC 8.
And where there was UFC a big 8, scuffle out there.
And the most notable thing about that pay-per-view, actually, was it's one of the most brutal knockouts in UFC history. Gary Goodridge in his first MMA fight ever, within seconds of the fight starting, was able to get his opponent in like a crucifix, but not the way you think, not with him on top, but with him underneath his opponent, and just brutally elbowed him, uncontested elbows, about 15 in a row, which was like unwarranted because after the first elbow, his opponent was already out cold, and the referee took a good 20 seconds to stop him, but it was rapid-fire elbows. He just knocked him out. So if you guys haven't seen that one, look that one up on YouTube. Nasty, nasty knockout.
And with that being said, I want to welcome everyone to call in. 714-868-0222 is the number to speak to Nick. If you have a question or two, or you can go ahead and visit us on Twitter at RomanDH. Tweet your questions at RomanDH. And if you happen, you know, you're too late, you're falling asleep, you can listen to the archive interview tomorrow morning on RodolfoRoman.com. Head on over to the website, and you'll be able to pull out the interview right there and listen to the entire complete show. So you have no worries. If you want to go to sleep, we understand. Again, tweet us the questions at RomanDH. Call us live, 714-868-0222. Call us live and ask Nick Newell a couple of questions. And with that being said, if you'd like to sponsor us, email us at RomanDH@Yahoo.com. RomanDH@Yahoo.com. And also, I want to invite folks out there in Miami, Florida. Jeremy May, whose father actually is from Colombia, and he was on The Ultimate Fighter reality series on Spike. He is hosting a seminar later this month at Monsters Training Center in South Miami. He's going to be hosting a seminar not just for himself, but for children in Colombia, children that live in an orphanage in a very poor area there, and they take care of these kids. There's about 70-something kids who are taking care of this orphanage, and they're in dire need of help because the structure is falling apart, especially the kitchen area. And Jeremy May wants to go out there, fix up the entire place to prevent the government from shutting it down. And he needs approximately $25,000 to do so. And in fact, if you want to help out, you can go ahead and the website is meetmeinthecage.com. And that's Jeremy May's website. But this seminar, guys, it's going to be December 19th at noon. December 19th at noon at Monsters Training Center. The actual address of this place, I'll give it to you a little later on today. But you could just go on Facebook, or actually the website here, or email monsterstrainingcenter@gmail.com, monsterstrainingcenter@gmail.com. If you live in Miami, the address is 4190 Southwest 74th Court. Go out there, support this guy, support these children. They go as young as 1 year old all the way up to 19 years old, and these kids, unfortunately, don't have enough money to have a proper education, and the orphanage and Jeremy May and his family are helping to get these kids into a college to get a degree or some sort of education. So that takes place December 19th. That's at noon on a Sunday. So make sure you go out there and support this cause that Jeremy May, a former contestant of The Ultimate Fighter, is trying to pull off. And we'll have him next week out here to explain to us a little more. But with that being said, guys, we're going to go straight to
news of the day.
And with that being said, we start off with the biggest news of the day. Guillermo, sadly, Georges St-Pierre's fight against Nick Diaz has been postponed. GSP tore his ACL and meniscus. An interim welterweight title will be up for grabs between Carlos Condit and Nick Diaz at UFC 143. A middleweight bout between Dustin Jacoby and Chris Camozzi has been added to next month's UFC on Fox 2 event. Spike TV will counter UFC on Fox 2 on January 28th, airing UFC Unleashed. During UFC on Fox 1, the station scored 800,000 viewers. UFC on Fox 2 takes place January 28th at Chicago's United Center. A heavyweight matchup between Dave Herman and Steven Struve has been confirmed for UFC on Fuel TV 1. UFC on Fuel. TV One takes place February 15th in Nebraska. The 18,000-seat CenturyLink Arena is likely to host it. And Struve versus Herman likely will be part of a Fuel TV televised main card. The coaches have been announced for the next Ultimate Fighter season, which will be moving to FX this March. It will be UFC bantamweight champion Dominic Cruz and the California kid Uriah Faber. The next season will feature lightweight and welterweight contestants competing. And by the way, Guillermo, did you know? Well, of course you know, because we interviewed the guy last week. But Mike Rio was part of that world competition out there that took place in Las Vegas. Well wishes to Rio. Hopefully we get to see him on TV. But also, Guillermo, Jose Caceres, who is a Miami fighter and happens to be the brother of Bruce Leroy, that's Alex Caceres, tried out as well. And he posted on Facebook that it seemed to be quite well for him, and he made it all the way to the last level there. So hopefully we can see both of these guys on The Ultimate Fighter one day. And guys, turning to Bellator news, Bellator has signed War Machine, formerly known as John Coppenhagen, before a legal name change. Again, the 29-year-old fighter first joined Bellator in 2009, but was released soon afterward due to disparaging political comments, he posted. Now, fresh off a victory over fellow UFC vet Roger Huerta on a regional show, he's rejoined the organization. And Guillermo, we spoke to Bjorn Rebney when they came out here in Hollywood, Florida last month, and we were talking to him as far as when is there going to be a time change or a date change. And surely enough, they decided Bellator will now air on Fridays instead of Saturday and avoid that competition with the UFC. But in March, they will be competing with the UFC as the UFC will air The Ultimate Fighter. So tough to see as far as what's going to happen there with the process and the ratings. And Guillermo, the time has come. The moment is almost here. This Saturday, UFC 140, Jones versus Machida. The card is looking good, man.
Yeah, man, I can't wait. Like I said many times, Machida is my favorite fighter. He has been. I monitored him well before he was ever in the UFC, back when he was fighting Rich Franklin, BJ Penn, Stephen Bonner, before he ever came onto the UFC. And I knew this guy would be champion one day, and I was telling people about him before he even came to the UFC, and people would be like, who the hell is that? You know, I'm like, this is the guy who gave Rich Franklin his only loss at the time. This is one of only three guys to beat BJ Penn at the time. This is one of only two guys to beat Stephen Bonner at the time. And they're like, man, no, maybe he will be something someday. And sure enough, he won the title, and unfortunately he lost it. But I believe in him. I really believe he's going to surprise a lot of people and beat John Jones this Saturday. People think I'm nuts, but John Jones has just not faced a person like this before. His technique is tailor-made for Machida to take advantage of, so I can't wait. This is what I've been waiting for like since they announced it like 3 months ago.
And guys, again, I want to make a quick announcement to the folks joining us on the live chat room there. Call in 714-868-0222 is the number. Let's communicate with Nick Newell, man, because Nick is, you know, I was talking to him over the phone. The guy is very, very nice. He speaks to his fans on Facebook and on Twitter. He replies. So he's a very interactive guy, and he wants to hear from you guys that are on the chat room. The number to call, guys, is 714-868-0222. It doesn't matter where you are from, where you're calling us from. The lines are open. Let's interact. You're a little shy on the phone. Go ahead and tweet us a question at RomanDH. That's RomanDH. That's what the Roman Show is all about. Communicating to you guys, getting a little close to our fighters. Call in, guys, 714-868-0222, as we will shortly welcome Nick Newell on the show here. And Guillermo, as we expand with UFC 140, the Lyoto Machida and John Jones is not the only fight there. You got Frank Mir versus Antonio Nogueira, Nogueira versus Tito, who actually he changed the whole Huntington bad boy thing. He took that out, he said. He says he didn't like it. He didn't want to be known for that.
Yeah, he wants to change his nickname to something more fan-friendly, more positive. So I think it was something, you know, to do. Do you have it there, his new nickname? Because I read about it, but I can't quite remember it right now. But it was something like the People's Champion. You know, that's actually what it is. It's the People's Champion.
Yeah.
That's what his nickname is.
Yeah.
Just
well,
like The Rock.
I think the Rock is going to be kicked off
he
that.
He changed his nickname to the People's Champion. I read about it. And he's trying to get the fans behind him. He's tired of – I mean, he's always had his own following, but, you know, lately when he was on the losing streak, people were really against him. And when he beat Bader, everything sort of changed, and he became more positive. And you know, his job wasn't on the line, like, you know, with Dana White trying to fire him. So, you know, he's taking a more positive stance. You know, he's a family man now, you know, with Jenna and the babies. And so he's trying to turn the corner. He's not the bad boy anymore. He's like the family guy, the people's champion. Yeah, that's what he's calling himself.
So,
although he hasn't been champion of anything in a while.
He stole the name of the Rock there, Guillermo.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, well, I don't know if he was aware of that, but I'm sure he will.
Well, we can't go wrong with that. Excuse me. I just had to get some water here.
Yeah.
Kind of cool out here in Miami, but to get this stuff. Hey, guys, again, the number to call is 714-868-0222 is the number, as we will soon have Nick Newell here on the Roman Show. And Nick, man, and Guillermo, did you happen to see his fight by any chance?
No, I just read that he won by heel hook 1 minute, 11 seconds into a fight. But, yeah, I got to get around to watching that. I have watched some of his other victories. Where he pulls off rear naked chokes and that sort of thing. So very impressive, you know, for a man with just an arm and a subs, very, very impressive.
Yeah, the guy's phenomenal. And I was actually watching some video on him training, and the guy's a beast. And his wrestling is in tip-top shape. And I was talking to him yesterday, and he was telling me how he's an inspiration, not just to a person like you and me who are blessed to have two hands and two legs, but to folks who are disabled. He was telling me that he went to the to one of the military areas, Walter Reed, and he was giving them some sort of seminar teaching these guys a little bit of wrestling. And he told me also about teaching some kids wrestling who are blind, and explained to me how important it is and how beneficial it is to blind children, blind people wrestling. So it's this man is just not only an inspiration, but he's a good humanitarian and spreading out the word for these guys out there. The heck, you know, it doesn't matter. If you want it, despite your setbacks, anything could be done as long as you put your mind into it. And he's definitely showing it. Get me there?
Absolutely. It's very, very, very inspirational what he's been doing. And like I said, you know, not only a great fighter, but a great person. And you find that a lot with people who persevere through these sort of disabilities and still conquer and succeed. You find that they have not only a very, very strong, like, you know, they're very strong mentally. And not only that, you know, that strength passes along to other parts of their body if they're a fighter. You know, that one arm that he has, I bet you, is much stronger than, you know, your average fighter's one arm. So he's able to do more things because of that. But usually you find that their mental game is so much stronger, and that, you know, when they find themselves in a tough spot in a fight in particular, that they don't let that defeat them. They persevere and they keep on going and turn things around. So, I mean, you'll find that out with Nick Newell, and you'll see it probably much more if you watch his YouTube videos. You'll see what he's gone through to succeed.
Yeah, and this past fight that he had was actually a very emotional one for him, as he was honoring his best friend, the late Abby Mestre, who lost his life, unfortunately, in an unfortunate motorcycle accident, which happened here on the way home from training, sadly. So it was a very emotional fight for Nick, and by far, he defeated the odds. And with that being said, guys, we're going to give Nick a call right now. Guys, the number to call, 714-868-0222, as we get in contact with Nick. Here we go for the call. We're excited about this, Guillermo. Very excited to have this gentleman on the line here on the Roman Show. And again, the number, guys,
714-868-0222. Hey, what's going on?
Hey, Nick, how are you? Welcome to the Roman Show, man. Everything all right?
Yeah, great. It's a pleasure to be on.
My pleasure, Nick. And on the, my co-host here, Guillermo, the MMA Encyclopedia Garcia is on the line, and we appreciate you taking some time. Now, Nick, before we continue and talk about your success that you've had lately, you posted something on Facebook yesterday, I think it was, the day before, that you were having some sort of a surgical procedure, or what was going on with you?
Yeah, I just had some bone spurs removed. Basically, it was just like a nagging injury. You know, my arm would get tired, like, pretty after I worked out real hard. And, you know, I kept getting cortisone shots, but those aren't good for you. So I decided to just get it fixed. It had no effect on the fight or my training camp or anything like that, really. You know, I actually felt good. I felt pretty much 100%, you know, going into the fight. But, you know, it's just something that allows me to train harder now that I got it fixed.
And how soon will you be recuperating from this the surgery?
I'll be back to training before the year is over. Okay, the end of the year.
It's not too bad.
Yeah, no, it's nothing. It's not serious. It's very minor.
Okay, and Nick, my chat room here is going through the roof. People have tuned in and they're listening right now. The number to call, guys, don't be shy, 714-868-0222. Or go ahead and tweet us at RomanDH if you have a question for Nick. Nick, it seems like overnight your life has turned around. With just a blink of the eye, you have become a success on the internet as people have been sharing your videos. You were on the front page of Yahoo. You even took a picture of it there with the screen in the background. Tell me what's going on in your life right now, man. Did you expect so much exposure after this victory you had? I mean, it was only your sixth fight. You're undefeated, so you weren't really a stranger to this. But did you know this was going to happen?
Well, you know, basically, I've been training for a while now, and I train with a bunch of studs. And, you know, I've been working hard, and I've been finishing fights in the first round. You know, this last fight wasn't like a strange occurrence. You know, like every one of my fights I finished in the first round. And, you know, a lot of the I've been asking for that big league exposure, you know, for a while now because I know how good I am. And the XFC was the one who gave me the chance and gave me the exposure, and they even did a tribute to my friend that passed away, and I think I showed everybody what I was made of, you know?
And now, Nick, and here's the emotion tied to this, aside from the fact that the reason why they're blowing you up because of the way you were born, that you were born with a partial developed arm, but let's go back to last Friday. It was a very emotional day for you. Because you were walking inside this cage and you had your friend Abby in your mind. Now, there's a story to this, correct? Both of you guys were going to try out for the XFC. Can you take us back exactly what was going to happen here?
Yeah, basically, XFC had an open tryout in Connecticut, where I'm from. And I went with Abby, who was not only a great friend, he was like a brother to me and a training partner, excellent training partner. And, you know, the whole tryout was the winner gets a contract with the XFC. And I went, and I did pretty good. I made the finals, you know. They only selected a couple of people for the finals, and I was one of them. And Abby was too, and, you know, he looked great. That day, he was an excellent fighter, and he won the contract, and he definitely deserved it. Unfortunately, he got injured and never got to fulfill it, and, you know, he passed away shortly after that. So, you know, I would have liked if both of us were able to compete on the same card, but I'm very happy that they did a show in his honor and allowed me to compete on it.
And Abby passed away when?
Back in April.
Back in April of this year. And he was around your age, because you're 28.
No, I'm 25.
You're 25 now. Well, they got the
yep.
They're 25. And how old was Abby?
He was 28.
28, okay. I got the ages incorrect there. Sorry about that. So how did you guys meet?
Wrestling. We'd known of each other through wrestling. We've had the same coaches, but at a different times. And, you know, we both started training around the same time in MMA.
And was this always a dream for you and him, both of you guys, as friends, to one day appear in TV, be in the same card, and fight in MMA when you guys started when you guys met?
Yeah, you know, we both worked out and trained really hard and had goals of being big time fighters, and you know, it seemed like he was on his way, and then he got injured, and you know, he never got his chance to reach that goal. And you know, he definitely had the skill, and you know, I'm glad the XFC realized that and was ready to give him a chance, and it's unfortunate that it never happened.
And his family was there, I would assume, in attendance that night that you fought.
Wait, what?
Was his family in attendance the night that you fought?
No, they were not.
So they saw it on TV.
They're from Massachusetts, and I fought in Tampa.
Right, so they didn't come out to see you out there.
No. But they were watching at home.
Watching on television. Well, that's definitely a huge honor there for your friend. And I'm sure he's watching from above, man. And congratulations on that victory. Now, let's turn to you now. Because aside from the fighting, which we'll touch base on that, let's talk about you. You're a humanitarian. And the fact that when you were speaking to me over the phone on 2 days ago or yesterday, actually, did you go out to – you went out to Walter Reed's and helped out one of these soldiers out there, teaching him a couple of moves and the seminars, and you were talking to me about some wrestlers that were blind and how good wrestling is good for the blind, or the vision impaired.
Yeah, well, basically, you know, some of the charity – work that I've done is I went to the Walter Reed Hospital, and they had like an open seminar, and a bunch of troops who lost their limbs in the war and stuff like that came, and you know, I taught them a couple moves, and we mostly just chatted and talked and shared experiences, and you know, and stuff like that. It was definitely an excellent experience, and you know, I've gone to Nebraska to do a seminar. There was a guy who had cerebral palsy, and he couldn't use part of his one side of his body, and he asked me to come out. And he paid for me to go out there, and I did a seminar, and it was cool. It was a cool experience. And at Springfield College, I did a seminar. They weren't wrestlers, but they were just blind kids, and I taught them some wrestling moves, and they had a great time. You know, it was cool. You know, it was cool. I don't know. I like helping people because I feel like a lot of people have helped me when I was in need. You know,
and as a fighter, Nick, and doing this, you have then become an ambassador, not to those with some disabilities, but to the sport itself, by going out there and teaching these guys about wrestling and jiu-jitsu and all that.
Yeah, you know, I also opened up a scholarship, the Abby Mestre Memorial Wrestling Scholarship. Mm-hmm. I sent a wrestler to the Copa Sparta Tournament, which is a big-time wrestling tournament in Puerto Rico they have every year, so I was pretty happy about that, too. You know, I just appreciate, or I just like people that... or to teach people, you know, don't give up on yourself. Things are hard, but if you work hard enough and you have the right mindset and you, most importantly, believe in yourself, you can do it, and you can reach your goals. And this goes to people who have disabilities, to people who don't have disabilities, you know, whether you want to be a fighter or you want to be, I don't even know, a dancer or whatever, you know, go out and achieve your goals and believe in yourself and work hard, and you can do it, you know.
And now, go ahead.
Hmm?
Go ahead, get it. You hear me there, Nick?
Well, I can't. I know. What did you say?
You were cutting off a little bit. And now, aside from this, so tell us now about your training as far as using this, because pretty much you have been an athlete. You competed in high school. As you told me, you actually had held some good records out there in Connecticut, as you were ranked real high in wrestling, and you held a record. So, did you have other sports as well that you competed in?
Yeah, you know, in high school I set the record for wins in a season. It's been broken since, but I did have the record. Growing up, I started off playing soccer, and I played basketball, but baseball was probably my biggest sport. I played baseball, and I'll tell you what, I completely sucked my first year, but I stuck with it, and you know, I worked hard and trained all year round to be good at it, and I made the All-Star team every year after that. So.
And what position did you play?
Huh?
What position did you play in baseball or basketball?
Oh, to play? I started playing baseball because when I was a kid, Jim Abbott was a pitcher, and he had one hand, and I was like, I thought Jim Abbott was a man, so I wanted to be like Jim Abbott, so I started playing baseball.
I remember him, yeah. So what leads you into MMA? You were a wrestler, but what brought you into MMA? What inspired you to say, heck, you know what I mean? I want to compete inside the cage one day.
Growing up as a kid, I always liked, things that kicked ass. Like Ninja Turtles was like my favorite show. And, I like Ghostbusters. They were pretty gnarly. And Power Rangers and stuff like that. I've just always liked like stuff like that, you know, and I like pro wrestling too. So I started doing regular wrestling because I liked pro wrestling, and then I saw MMA on TV and I was like, that's it, I'm doing this. I gotta try this out. I gotta learn how to do this. This looks awesome.
You know, it's so funny you say that. It's so funny you say that, Nick, because I myself did the same thing too. You know, they didn't have pro wrestling in high school, so the best next thing to it was wrestling, you know, folk wrestling. It's funny you mentioned that.
And yeah.
Did you ever consider doing any pro wrestling at any time?
No. When I was like a little kid, I wanted to be, you know, Bret Hart. I used to put all my friends in the sharpshooter. But, once I got to high school and I started doing real wrestling, I was like, this is awesome. I'm not going to let anyone beat me up. I'm going to beat everyone up.
And, Guillaume, we have a question for Nick.
Yeah, Nick, MMA is a dangerous sport enough as it is for somebody with, you know, two functioning arms. And so with you, like, there's a lot of disadvantages that fighters normally don't have to deal with, such as maybe, you know, your defense and your offense is limited from that side of your body because of the whole arm thing. Like, defending a head kick must be difficult, or fighting off a rear naked choke if somebody's got your back would be even harder. What do you do in training to overcome those things?
Well, you know, there are ways around everything. If you actually see me move my arm, I mean, all my fights, the stand-up hasn't been long enough to see, but I can actually move it pretty fast and defend pretty well. I think it's funny when people, online are like, if I fought this guy, I'd just kick him in the head. It's like, bro, can you even kick that high? You know how hard it is to kick someone. You know, and... if it's that easy, someone would have done it already. And I train with some legit guys. I train with legit black belt black belts. You know, and they can tell you how hard it is to tap me out when you take my back. You know, I mean, tuck your chin in and hand fight. There's ways around everything.
Absolutely. Now, when you were in wrestling, a single leg or double leg would be difficult in your situation. So did you utilize a lot of hip tosses, judo throws? What would you do in your wrestling career?
I made the national team for wrestling in Connecticut, and I won a couple Greco-Roman tournaments, but I've always had a good front headlock, but, you know, I do have to get in a little deeper on shots, but, you know, I've relied on my speed and excellent timing, and, if I shoot in and I get a hold of you, I'm going to keep driving in until I get that takedown. You know, you look at my arm from the outside, and you see a disadvantage, but you don't see the advantage that I have on the inside, and that's my heart, and I'm going to keep fighting until the end. And that's a lot of things that you see people, and you say, oh, that guy looks tough, but you can't see what's really inside of him. And, that's the biggest weapon right there.
you know, I was telling Roman, you know, we're kind of joking around about it, even though we don't mean to joke about your situation, but you have one less arm to arm bar and, you know, one less arm to get triangled on, I guess, right? So that actually helps you out there a little bit. But it's inspirational what you're doing, man. It's fantastic. I totally appreciate what you're doing.
Yeah, actually, you can arm bar my arm. It's been arm barred before, man. You know, people think that I can, like, slip out of everything when, you know, it's more a tribute to my actual skill getting onto submissions than, you know, me not having an arm right there.
And gotcha. Nick, with you being such a success, do you see more fighters with disabilities getting inside the cage? You know, you have Matt Hamill, who's deaf. I think I mentioned to you in Muay Thai, you got Baxter Humby.
I know Baxter. He's nasty. He's a world champion.
Yeah, and he has the same thing too. He's missing an arm, and there's actually a pro wrestler, Gregory Iron, who has cerebral palsy. He's also competing. Do you see more disabled fighters making their way into MMA or in other sports?
You know, I mean, yeah. If you're willing to work hard enough and put in the time and dedication, then you can do it. You know, I mean, look at Gene Jacques Machado. He's only got one hand, and he's a nasty jiu-jitsu guy, you know. He was Eddie Bravo's coach, and everyone talks about how nasty Eddie Bravo was. And, you know, Baxter Humby, world champion kickboxer, one hand, you know. I'm just doing the same thing, except I'm doing it with MMA.
Mm-hmm. And Nick, let's take this phone call here. One of our callers calling in. Caller, you're on the air on the Roman Show with Nick Newell, Guillermo Garcia, and Rodolfo Roman. You have a question for Nick?
I have several questions for Nick. Am I on the air? Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Nick Newell, I have a question for you. How does one man get so handsome?
Is this the one I know?
Let me ask you that. That was question number one. Question number two. If I'm watching you fight on TV, how do you think that makes me feel when I've got a woman sitting under my arm who is legally bound to me by the laws of the United States through marriage? How do you think it makes me feel when she looks at you on the screen and lets out a gasp, not even a word, a gasp, and is just awestruck by your handsomeness?
I don't know, man. I'm a good-looking guy. I'm moisturized.
All right. Question number three. I have heard now that you are the second handsomest and second toughest fighter in New England. Have you had a chance to train with the number one guy? I think his last name is Nader.
Wait, is it Jeff Nader? Who is it?
I'm not the one being interviewed here. You are. Have you had a chance to train with Mr. Nader?
I have yet to train with Mr. Nader, but I hear good things.
Well, I tell you what, I would pay, and I hope there's promoters out there listening, I would pay for a face-off. By face-off, I mean a battle for the handsomest MMA fighter in New England.
We might have to have a walk off, man. Next time I see you, I'll come up to Cape Cod, man, and we'll get some training.
Next time you see him. So
yes.
I just want to say, Roman, I dig the show. Nick Newell, very proud of you, man. Awesome job, awesome job. That heel hook, I'm pretty sure I taught you that. You look good in there, man.
You did. Yes, you did.
Well, thank you so much for calling in. Thank you so very much for calling in, and we appreciate you tuning in to Guillermo and myself.
Nicky Newell doing us proud, man. Roman, take care.
Thank you so very much. Well, Nick, not only you're a phenom inside the cage, but apparently you're a very handsome man.
Oh, yeah.
Soon you're going to get Playgirl knocking at your door, man.
Oh, man. No news. I keep it classy.
Well, Nick, man, it's been an honor to have you here. Anything else you want to add or tell your fans out there listening to you here on the show?
If you have a goal, follow it. You know, don't shortchange yourself or don't let anyone tell you you can't do something. If you want something bad enough, you'll go out there and you'll do it and you'll earn it. You know, life is tough and not everything comes easy. You know, sometimes you might get jealous of people who have something you want, or you might get down on yourself because you've been working hard for something and it's not there yet. Just stick with it and keep grinding, you know. I am where I am because, you know, people were helping me along the way, but, you know, a lot of the time no one was paying attention to me and I was still training hard, you know. And just keep your head straight and stay focused and you can go places. And I feel like this is just the start for me. You know, I really haven't even broken into anything that I want to accomplish. You know, I'm very thankful that the XFC gave me this opportunity, and I can't wait to fight for them again. It's a great organization, and I'm ready to prove myself.
And Nick, with that being said, do you find yourself one day going to a Bellator or a UFC?
I don't know. You know, you'll have to see.
Yeah, there you go, Nick. Where can people follow you?
I definitely think that I can hang with anyone. So, you know, I'm not. I'm ready for whatever challenges come my way, and I'm ready to fight the best. So, you know, bring it on.
There you go. And Nick, where can people follow you on your Facebook or your Twitter or website? And please let us know about your charity work as well, where they can keep up to date with that.
Yeah, you can follow me on Facebook.com/NickNewellMMA and on Twitter at Notorious Newell. And when I do another fundraiser to help raise enough money for the Abby Mestre Memorial Scholarship, I'll let you guys know, and I'll post it all over Facebook next time we do another fundraiser. Until then, my friend runs a very good charity. It's called Tap Cancer Out. You guys might want to check it out. He's a great guy, and you know, all the money goes towards finding a cure for cancer. So,
now, actually, we have one more caller here, Nick, that just called it. Caller on the air on the Roman Show with Nick Newell and Guillermo Garcia. Have a question for Nick?
Hey, Nick. Yes, I do. Well, not really a question, it's more a statement. I was actually at XFC 15. I don't know if you remember, because you're kind of in between texting when I was talking to a Charlie Rader over there by the fighter side, but I just want to tell you, bro, you look phenomenal out there. And you know, I look forward to watching you fight in the future.
Thank you very much, man. Thank you.
A lot of praise out there for Nick. Nick, man, honestly, from the bottom of my heart and from Guillermo, man, you're an inspiration. Keep it going, and hopefully we'll see you there soon on pay-per-view, man.
Oh, man, I hope. See you soon.
All right, Nick, and we'll stay in contact, and please let us know as far as your charity work and your humanitarian efforts that you take place, Nick.
Okay.
All righty, Nick. Well, you have a good night, and God bless, man.
Thanks for having me on the show.
Thank you, Nick. Well, Guillermo, a very inspirational person, fighter, humanitarian, and an ambassador to the sport of mixed martial arts. Right indeed.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's a shame he had to have that surgery for the bone spurs, because building off this momentum that he has from this last fight and the publicity, he could have just gotten another fight in immediately. You know, who knows, you know, how fast he could have risen up to a bigger organization. But that's fine. If he just keeps on winning when he gets back from his surgery, I'm sure he'll make it to the big time eventually, you know.
Yes, sir. And guys, if you want to call in, 714-868-0222 is the number. That's 714-868-0222 is the number. You want to sponsor us, email us at romandh@yahoo.com. If you happen to miss the interview of Nick Newell, head on over to rodolphoroman.com tomorrow morning. We'll put up the interview there. You can listen to it in its entirety, so you won't miss a second. Tweet us any questions if you have it at romandh. And follow my man Guillermo at Stoneface16. That's on Twitter. With that being said, Guillermo, let's talk about UFC 140 this weekend, as you are elated waiting for your boy Lyoto Machida to face off against the champ John Jones. Many people say that John Jones is going to annihilate Lyoto. Others say, like yourself, that don't underestimate Lyoto Machida, that he could be a wrecking crew for John Jones.
Yeah, absolutely. Remember, at the end of the day, styles make matchups. And John Jones has been fighting, in my opinion, not easy fights, but fights that are tailor-made to his style. Rampage doesn't use many kicks, and he hasn't used his wrestling in years. Since last time he really used his wrestling was back when he was in Japan. So he really did not have the tools to counter what John Jones was doing. Same thing with Shogun. Shogun has never had great takedown defense, so what Jones was able to do was take down Shogun and wear him down on the ground, grounding and pounding him. And by the time the fight got stood back up in the third round, Shogun had nothing left. And besides, he had just come back from a knee injury, and he had no cardio at that point. When John Jones fought Ryan Bader, he was just overall just a better fighter than Ryan Bader, and it showed. So, and prior to that, he just fought Stefan Bonner and Vladimir Matyushenko and Brandon Vera, just guys he was generally better than. But with Lyoto Machida, for the first time, he's fighting a guy who's got phenomenal takedown defense. Think about the history of Lyoto Machida, and you won't find too many takedowns. And even if you do, you'll see that he got right back up within 5 to 10 seconds. The guy has a sumo wrestling background. He's studying sumo wrestling since he was 11 years old, and so he's very hard to take down. And not only that, he's got black belt in jiu-jitsu with the Nogueiras, so he's no slouch on the bottom either, even if it gets there. His stand-up is some of the best stand-up in UFC history in terms of striking accuracy, striking defense, one of the least hit people in UFC history. So John Jones, if he gets wild with those spinning back fists, those crazy kicks and all that, Lyoto Machida is technically proficient enough to expose any openings that Jones leaves. Not only that, he's also quick enough and maybe even quicker than John Jones is with his strikes. So he is tailor-made. If there's a guy that's going to beat John Jones soon, it's this guy. I mean, absolutely. If you look at it on paper, it would be obvious to anybody that Lyoto's got, I would put it at 50-50 chance, just to give Jones some credit. But it's 50-50. It's a coin flip, in my opinion. It just depends on, you know, which Lyoto comes out. Is it the lackadaisical one that fought Shogun 2 times, or is it the guy that went through Couture and went through Rashad and went through Thiago Silva? You know, if it's that guy, he has a real good chance of beating Jones.
Yeah, both of these guys have a unique sense of style, so it's going to be very interesting as far as what matchup we're going to have. And it's true. It depends on when Lyoto Machida comes out. You're definitely right about that, because John Jones, he brings it. You know, the fights that he has had, he always gives you something new, some moves you weren't even aware of, and it makes him
right.
So unique with this point. And Lyoto Machida,
some of those things are so wild that he leaves himself open. And he hasn't fought somebody yet who has the technical proficiency striking-wise to make him A. You know, Shogun is a great striker, but he's a different kind of striker than Machida is. He rushes forward. He's the one who leaves himself open, so it's easy for Jones to counter him. Whereas Machida sits back and waits for you to make a mistake, and he makes you pay. And that's what Jones has not fought so far. He has not fought a technically proficient counter striker yet. And so this is a real big test for him, because Machida's got excellent cardio. He does not get tired. He's got takedown defense. So if Jones cannot take him to the ground and he has to stay standing up with Machida, I think he's going to lose if he stays standing. I don't think Jones' stand-up is developing by the fight. It's definitely getting better. He uses knees, elbows, kicks, and punches, which is fantastic. But I think Machida is better than him in each of those aspects. Some people say all that stuff doesn't matter because of Jones' reach. But trust me, Machida's been fighting in karate and in striking-based mixed martial arts since he was 3 years old. He's been taught how to address a long reach. He knows how to fight for all sorts of different styles. He's been around that long. So, you know, this guy was raised to kick butt. So, basically, I think he'll be well prepared for the long reach advantage that Jones has.
And, Guillermo, with that being said, December 17th here in South Florida, we're going to have CFA number 4 featuring such fighters like Mike Rio and Luis Baboon Palomino. If you want to go for free to this show, head on over to Twitter and tweet, "I listen to the Roman Show." Tweet it to @RomanDH. If you're not too familiarized with Twitter, head on over to Facebook. Rodolfo R. Roman, the fan page, Rodolfo R. Roman. Type in there, "I listen to the Roman Show," and we will hook you up with a pair of tickets to CFA 4. That's December 17th. Head on over, Twitter, @RomanDH. Right in there, "I listen to the Roman Show," or the Facebook page, Rodolfo R. Roman. Facebook.com/RodolfoR. Roman. type in there or listen to the Roman Show, and you will win a free pair of tickets to CFA4, which will be taking place on the University of Miami campus December 17th, featuring Mike Rio, Luis Baboon Palomino, and so many others. We have a phone call here on the line. Let's take it. Caller, you're on the air on the Roman Show.
Hello?
Hello, caller?
Yes, my name is Danny Chavez.
Hey, Danny, how are you doing?
I'm sorry I'm a little late. I just got out of the shower right now. I just finished training.
No worries. Speaking of CFA, Danny Chavez will be competing in CFA number 4 in Coral Gables, December 17th. Danny, you fight out of MMA Masters. How are you preparing for your fight? Tell us about your opponent, Danny.
Well, I'm fighting Joey Rodriguez. I've been training very hard. I've been getting ready for this fight. What can I say? Everything is going good. I've been, no complaints, no injuries. I haven't had any problems, so I hope I know that this fight is gonna go well. It's gonna go good for me.
You know, I remember seeing Joey Rodriguez fight in one of the first. Actually, it was an MFA. I think it was. He had a pretty strong fan support, and they looked at him like the golden boy. So does this in any way affect you in any way when you're out there fighting, having all these people screaming and chanting his name?
No, not really. I really never got nervous before a fight. Like, I get nervous the days before the fight, days before the weigh-ins. Like right now, let's say. You know, I get a little nervous just thinking about the show. You know what I mean? The show is the only thing that gets me a little, not the opponent. I really don't. I'm always there ready for war. I don't really get nervous about the opponent. I get more nervous about, like, the show, you know. I don't want to disappoint nobody that came to support me, you know. But, I never had a problem. Actually, when it comes up to a fight, like I said, I get more nervous like days before the fight than the day of the fight.
And, Danny, right now, you're searching for your first victory?
No. Right now, it's my fourth victory.
Your fourth victory. You're searching
for your
fourth.
I'm 3-0 right now, and I'm looking forward to be 4-0.
4-0. So right now you're undefeated, and I think Joey's is about the same rage, correct?
Yeah, we both have actually the same record. We're both 3-0.
And Danny, tell me about the influx of Hispanic fighters that have joined into mixed martial arts, especially with CFA. They get a lot of local guys and a lot of guys from Venezuela, Colombia, Cuba. Tell me about the Hispanic fighter compared to a Brazilian fighter or an American fighter. Or from somewhere else. Tell me the type of style that you bring into the cage.
Well, it is cool, the fact that now us Latinos are getting into this and we're actually making it grow even more. It doesn't really make a difference, you know. It always depends on the person, you know what I mean? Like, it doesn't matter where you from. As long as you put 100%, you could be good and anywhere, you know. You could be as good as anybody. You know, I fought one African-American, one American guy, and I fought a Cuban, I think it was. So, in difference of the fight, I really haven't felt nothing different, like what I could say, like, oh, who's weaker now, or who's so stronger, who's not. But I do believe that, like, if it comes down to training and, like, in your own country, I think America brings a lot more. When it comes down to training, we have just... America just has a lot. United States has a lot, you know, to offer, like a lot of schools of every martial art you can, you know. That would be the only thing I could actually say.
And Danny, tell me about training in MMA Masters. You guys have popular people go out there and train. You also train with Luis Baboon Palomino out there. And I saw Anderson Silva showed up one day. And big names that showed up there. Tell me about the training that goes out there. You guys have become... the second team out here, but sooner but surely you're rising to the top to compete with such team like an American top team down here.
Yeah, well, it's great, you know. I like the fact that, you know, the first time I actually joined the team, like about 2 years ago, and we were smaller, you know. We had just quality, you know. It was a little bit of work, but we were just good, you know. And, you know, training with Baboon is he's one of my close friends, and as well, he's a very good training partner, you know. and it just feels good, man. You know, I like anybody. I like to train with anybody. You know, I wish anybody could just come down to my gym and just train with us, man. You know, we had actually a guy from UFC, Ricardo Lamas, that trains with us actually as well. Mm-hmm. He trains with us actually for his fights on a daily basis. We trained with Hermes Franca too, UFC veteran. You know, we train with a lot of great guys there that have come from big organizations, you know, and it's good because it just brings up your game even higher, you know. Training with Bebe, which Bebe right now is a monster. He's a monster. I got to say, that guy's a monster. I train with Frank Carrillo. Right now he's coming up too. He just came out of a win of a knockout in a minute against a guy from ATT, very good guy from ATT. We had a lot of great guys right now joining the team, and it's good, man, because, like, everybody brings a different style. Everybody brings something different to the table, you know. Everybody has their own style. Some people come from different backgrounds, you know. I really don't come from any background. Like, I could say, like, you know, like, some people come from, like, high school wrestling, middle school wrestling. Some people come from, like, since little, they were in jiu-jitsu. I actually started 5 years ago everything. I try to put everything together at once, you know. But it's good that you have people with different styles come and train with you and people with a lot of caliber because it helps you out for your fights.
Guillermo, we have a question for Danny.
Yeah, Danny, what weight class do you currently fight in?
I fight featherweight, 145.
Now, do you cut a lot of weight to get to that weight or not really?
Well, as long as you do it the right way, I don't cut that much weight. I really, right now, especially since I'm working on 158, you know, normally like, I'll be walking around, like, months before the fight. Like, you know, like, the thing is I'm in a tournament, so I already know when I'm fighting. So I really got to take care of myself. But if I let myself go and I don't train, of course, I could go up weight to, like, 170. But most likely when I'm always training, I'm from 160 to 65. So I kind of lose, like, 50 to 20 pounds. But it's not drastic. It's not just one day in the sauna, I'm going to go drop 20 pounds. You know, it's through diet and through training and just dieting most of all.
Wow.
So do you get nervous about making weight, or it's pretty easy for you at this point? You gotten used to it?
Yeah, actually, that's what I was going to say. It's pretty easier now when you get to this point that you've already done it a couple of times. The first time was hard. The first time I did it, like, stupid. I thought I was able to cut. I actually cut 13 pounds that day, that day before the fight. I went there, and I'm like, oh, 153. I was going to do a catch weight at 140. And I just dropped 13 pounds in the sauna. It took me, like, 3 hours, almost four. And I didn't feel good. Even I didn't feel good at the fight. I just didn't feel good. Now, last fight, I just cut 5 pounds, and everything was diet. And then I feel great. Yeah, the last fight, I feel alive.
Wow, 13 pounds. That's crazy. The day before.
But believe it or not, bigger guys drop even more pounds. I'm actually, you know, I'm a featherweight. But people that fight at 205, like heavyweights or middleweights, they cut from 220, 230, even more.
Wow. That is just insane, man. But
yeah.
But how quickly do you gain this weight once the fight is over? Or the next
once
day
the
when you win?
Once the fight is over? Well, it depends. It depends, you know. If you go and you eat some junk food, you are going to get that weight fast. You know what I mean? If you go eat some burgers, some fries, some soda, you're going to get your weight back and you might, you know, blow up yourself a little bit. But if you keep it eating right, I'll just go up to like 2 days after the fight, I'll be back to 160, 65. The day of the fight, I'm always like only 10 pounds over. I mean, I'll be like 155 the day of the fight.
So if you have your frijoles, tortillas, and arroz con pollo, you're pretty much done, right?
I'll be eating just regular food like that, yeah, I'll be back to 165.
Wow, incredible.
And then, of course, eating white rice, eating bread. Right now, I don't eat white rice at all, you know. I gotta eat brown rice, or sometimes I just don't eat rice, I just eat my carbs. You know, I just eat the grains and chicken and salads, but I can't eat rice. You know, rice and beans, it makes too much carbs.
So you go to, like, a depleting stage, like, a week before the fight? Well, you have no carbs whatsoever?
No. I have carbs. I have to have carbs because that's my energy. That's what you use for energy and everything. But I have to have carbs. What it is that I don't use carbs at night. Like when I'm actually just training, I'm like a month to 2 months away from the fight. I'll come back home at night and I'll eat some arroz con pollo with something. I don't care. But when I have to start dropping weight, I cannot eat carbs at night. That's what I got to cut, the carbs at night. Like right now, I'm eating an apple, a green apple right now. Just eating fruits.
Right. Wow, well.
And just drink water.
Right. Well, Danny, thank you so much for calling into the Roman Show. Check him out. December 17th. That's at Coral Gables for CFA number 4. You want to see him live? We're giving away free tickets. Head on over to Twitter at Roman DH and just type in there, I listen to the Roman Show, or on Facebook, facebook.com/Rodolfo R. Roman, and just type in there, I listen to the Roman Show. You'll get a pair of tickets to see my boy here, Danny Chavez, compete at CFA 4. Danny, where can people keep up with you? On Facebook or your website or a Twitter?
Yeah, that's the only thing I have, Facebook. Just look for Danny Chavez. I think that's the only thing we could find me through Facebook. I don't have a Twitter account. I don't, and I just opened up the Facebook ever since I started my tournament. So I really am not good at it.
Okay, well, no worries. Well, Danny, tenemos gente que nos está escuchando a través de México y Puerto Rico. Mándale un saludo a todos los latinos que nos escuchan.
Okay, muchas gracias por todos los latinos que están escuchando ahorita. Los agradezco mucho si me apoyan para la pelea. Muchas gracias a todo el mundo.
Bueno, Danny, thank you so very much, man. And you're always welcome here on the Roman Show. Good luck, and we'll see you in action December 17th.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Danny. All right, Guillermo. Well, that pretty much sums it up, guys. Tune in to the Roman Show next Wednesday at 11 p.m. But you know, Guillermo, I think it's time we go prime time, man. I think 10 p.m. is a whole lot better for everyone, don't you think?
Well, yeah, man, I can do it. I mean, absolutely. You know, I work till 8 o'clock, so I don't see why not.
And you know, now that the Ultimate Fighter is no longer going to be on Wednesday, I think we're going to have to, instead of having the Ultimate Fighter, substitute that with the Roman Show. So 10 p.m. next Wednesday, we are going to be live on the Roman Show. And to kick things off on this program, let's just go ahead and announce one of the guests that we're going to have next week. And that will be, ladies and gentlemen, Christopher James. He is the XFC host. We had Nick Newell today who fights for XFC, but Christopher James, you've seen this man. He was on one of the clips there on HDNet. Where Nick Newell appears, and you saw him announce the fights there. So Christopher James will be our guest next Wednesday at 10 p.m. prime time on the Roman Show.
Along... 10 p.m. is not really prime time, I would say, Roman, but it's earlier.
Yes, it is. According to television, from 8 to 11 p.m. is prime time. Anderson Cooper is prime time.
You're the reporter out of the two of us, so you would know.
Don't trust me on that, man. Especially when we have sweeps. Yeah, you know, it gets difficult. 10 p.m.
And next week we'll be talking about the new champ, Lyoto Machida.
Yeah, whatever. I'm still rooting for my boy, John Jones, and they're going to take on Rashad Evans, in which we're trying to work on getting here on the Roman Show. And December 21st, tentatively, we're going to have the new champion of Bellator, lightweight champion, Michael Chandler, here on the show, on the Roman Show. Michael's going to tell us about winning the belt. We interviewed him soon after he won the belt, but we want to find out what type of feedback he's been getting from all the fans and from that classic, historic, epic battle that Eddie Alvarez and Michael Chandler had on Bellator last month. So we're going to have him here. And also next week, guys, Luis Baboon Palomino will be on the show. He'll be telling us about his upcoming fight at CFA 4 and his battles he's had in such companies as in Bellator. So we have a great lineup for you next week and the rest of the shows that we have coming up the rest of the year. And we got to have a best of Roman Show 2011 before we bring in 2012, Guillermo. As they say, what, December 20-something or whatever that is, the end of the year. That's the rumor.
Yeah, absolutely.
Some crap about it according to the Aztec calendar, but whatever. If the world ends, the Roman Show will be still on, so don't worry, guys. Nonetheless, guys, next week, Monday, we also have the wrestling show. We're going to have a special guest. Stay tuned for the information. But Guillermo, we're going to have 3 shows next week. Can you believe that? Monday at 11 p.m. or at 10 p.m., and then Tuesday at 10 p.m., and then Wednesday at 10 p.m. So Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, 10 p.m. We're going to have Monday and Tuesday wrestling. Wednesday, we're going to have MMA. So, guys, tune in. Again, if you want those pair of tickets to CFA 4, head on over to Twitter at RomanDH. Tweet there, I listen to the Roman Show. Or on Facebook, Rodolfo R. Roman. Type in there, I listen to the Roman Show. And Guillermo, Your boy's gonna lose. I'm sorry to break it to you.
It's gonna be the return of the dragon, the new UFC light heavyweight champion.
Tell you what.
World.
Tell you what. I'll bet you a drink, man.
Yeah, sure. Why not?
I got my money in Jones.
You can have a $10 drink. How about that? You're gonna lose.
Yeah, whatever, man. Hey, guys, thanks very much for tuning in. Please spread the word about the Roman Show. We appreciate you. And, guys, just spread it out there. Spread it out like wildfire, and we will see you next Monday here in the Roman Show for the Pro Wrestling Tuesday and the Pro Wrestling. Those are both 10 o'clock and Wednesday at 10 p.m. as we talk MMA. Good night, guys.